Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to be discussing the price changes that Tesla made late last night in the United States on the Model 3 and the Model Y. Then we also have a couple new vehicle scorecards to discuss. Quick look at the stock, Tesla today finished down 1.4% to $787.38. That compared to the NASDAQ, down 0.7%. It was a relatively quiet trading day, only about 18 million shares traded hands, and we didn't end up seeing that Ron Barron interview that I mentioned yesterday on CNBC this morning. Looks like for some reason they must have had to have rescheduled that, and Barron Funds has deleted the tweet announcing that interview. So hopefully nothing major there. I'll keep an eye out if I do happen to see something about this being rescheduled. All right, so the big news for today is, of course, gasp, Tesla cutting prices again, which Tesla has done on the opening price point versions of the Model 3 and the Model Y. But of course, that doesn't tell the whole story. They've also increased the performance prices on both versions. So here is a handy little table of the prices before and after the price change from last night. The Standard Range Plus Model 3 now starts at $36,990, $1,000 cheaper than before. The Standard Range Model Y, that's been reduced by $2,000, now to start at just under $40,000, $39,990. On both vehicles, the long-range all-wheel drive non-performance price has been held steady, no change there, and then both versions of the performance have been increased by $1,000. The larger price reduction on the Standard Range Model Y now brings that to just $3,000 more expensive than the Standard Range Plus Model 3. Before these price changes, the differences were kind of all over the place. The Standard Range was $4,000, the Long Range was $3,000, the Performance was $5,000. Now with this price change, it's $3,000 for both the Standard Range and the Long Range, but for some reason that Performance still sticks out a little bit higher, a $5,000 price difference between the Model Y Performance and the Model 3 Performance. Okay, so a couple of quick thoughts here. That price increase on the performance variants, that's not going to offset the price drops on the Standard Range versions. So net-net, this is going to cause an average selling price decrease for the Model 3 and the Model Y. So whenever this happens, you have the two competing schools of thoughts of Tesla bears saying, hey look, Tesla is lowering prices if they had enough demand. Why would they do that? And then you have the Tesla bulls saying, hey, Tesla's mission is to accelerate the advent of sustainable transportation. Elon Musk has said in the past that the problem with Tesla right now is that their cars are not affordable enough. As Tesla grows production, we should expect prices to decrease because of what Tesla has said. Now, me personally, I obviously fall more in the latter camp. Over the years, we have seen many, many price cuts from Tesla, oftentimes many in the same year, and yet Tesla continues to operate with the lowest amount of inventory in the automotive market. They ended Q4 with just 11 days, worldwide, 11 days of inventory, which if you've ever worked with anything that requires managing inventory, you understand is not a lot. For context, other automakers average somewhere around 70 days of inventory. So the point there is that we have plenty of precedents of Tesla lowering prices and that not pointing to a demand concern. There was even a price drop at the end of last May, even though Tesla had come off production shutdowns, and yet Tesla has been able to follow up those price cuts with their best quarters ever for deliveries, for revenue, and on top of that, they've been able to grow their automotive gross margin, even excluding regulatory credits, with these price cuts happening. While that in and of itself is not proof that every single price cut has nothing to do with demand, Tesla now has a very strong track record suggesting otherwise. Or, at the very least, that Tesla has proven very capable of managing the relationship between pricing, production, and demand. So a small average selling price cut here is not something that I find concerning, especially in a seasonally weaker Q1. I don't think Tesla really needs any other justification for dropping prices other than the fact that they've probably dropped costs now that the Model Y is continuing to ramp up, now that the Model 3 mini refresh is complete. But I do think there are some possible other factors here that are worth discussing. First off, here is the price cut to the Standard Range versions. That increases the price spread between the Standard Range and the Long Range. That's now $10,000 both for the Model 3 and the Model Y, versus previously on the Model Y, for example, that was only $8,000. That's going to push more people into the Standard Range version. And on top of the price cut, that's actually going to lower the average selling price as well. Generally, when you're making pricing adjustments, you probably want to push people a little bit more into those higher end versions. You're going to capture more revenue. You're going to capture better margins. But Tesla is specifically not doing that in this case, and they're even increasing the price on the performance. Now, some of that has to do with price sensitivity. A $1,000 price cut on the lowest price version is more meaningful to shoppers in that price range, and it's a bigger percent of the total cost of the car. So that's a factor. And then, of course, with Tesla's mission, just trying to make the vehicles more affordable, well, if you already have a cheaper car, cutting the price on the mid-range or the high-range version doesn't really do a whole lot there. So you've got some good reasons to do that, but there is that downside of making trading up less attractive. So another possible reason that Tesla might consider doing that is, as we've talked about in the past, potentially trying to get more vehicles off the production line using the same amount of batteries. If Tesla's got a battery constraint, which they often seem to have, they can get more standard range vehicles off the line than they could by putting those batteries into long range vehicles. Then you got to think about a little bit more than simply just automotive gross margin. Sure, maybe you're going to get a little higher automotive gross margin on the long range or the performance versions, but if you sell fewer vehicles, you may actually end up with lower operating margin. So just as an example, super quick, of how that might work, let's say your operating costs are fixed at $1 billion per quarter. For example's sake, let's say you can sell 200,000 long range vehicles at $50,000 a piece. You're going to generate $10 billion in revenue on that. Okay, great. Let's say that's at a 25% gross margin. You have $2.5 billion of gross profit. Your operating income after a billion in operating expenses is $1.5 billion. In our second scenario here, let's say instead of selling 200,000 of these long range versions, $50,000 a piece, let's say we only allocate batteries for 100,000 long range vehicles, so half what we had before. We put the rest of the batteries to standard range vehicles. Using the same amount of batteries, we could then get about 135,000 extra standard range vehicles, so 235,000 in total. If we sell those standard range vehicles for $10,000 less, so for example's sake here, we'll just say $40,000, that gives us $5.4 billion in revenue there, and then we still have our $5 billion in revenue from the 100,000 long range versions. So in this scenario, we've increased our revenue to $10.4 billion. So great, we've got more revenue. We also produced 18% more vehicles, so our cost of goods sold on those vehicles should be lower per vehicle, but we also had those standard range vehicles. So let's say those standard range vehicles, those were at a margin of 23.5% rather than the 25% we're getting on the long range cars. Mixed together then, our margin drops to 24.2%, so 80 basis points less than we had before, but we now have $2.52 billion in automotive gross profit. Factoring out our $1 billion of operating expenses, we're left with $1.52 billion in operating income. So we actually make more revenue, we make more profit, and we make more operating income even though we sold more lower margin vehicles. So that's just an example, but those are the types of things that Tesla has all the data for. They can run through those scenarios and optimize their pricing for those scenarios. Along that same line of thought, for Tesla, because they expect to have recurring revenue from autonomy in the future, they're even more incentivized to get as many vehicles on the road as possible, even if that does put a little bit more pressure on short-term profitability. Last couple of quick thoughts on this. You're going to see a lot of people talking about these price cuts, but not a lot of people talking about how the Model S and the Model X prices have increased substantially in the same period. The base Model S is now $10,000 more expensive. The base Model X, I believe, is $5,000 more expensive. The performance versions, now Plaid, I think those are like $20,000 more expensive. Those price increases are going to help cover some price cuts on the Model 3 and the Model Y. The last factor on this topic that I think is really important to consider, and then I promise we'll move on, is the potential impact currently of the potential extension of the US federal EV tax credit. As I said, Q1 already a seasonally weak quarter, and then we have this potential $7,000 tax credit that has not yet passed, but may be passing soon, that I'm sure a large portion of EV buyers are sitting there waiting and looking at to see if that happens before they make a purchase decision. Many of you have heard me talk about demand pockets before. I think that's a better term than demand issue because these tend to be temporary or to a specific product or to a specific region, whatever the case is. But it is possible that Tesla right now is sitting in this sort of tax credit induced demand pocket as people wait for clarity on that situation. If we look at this price reduction, as far as I know right now, it is isolated to the US. Even Canada hasn't been reduced, which if the price cut relates to impact from the US tax credit, makes sense. The other angle on this is that Tesla dropped the Model 3 by $1,000 to $36,990. If the tax credit comes through at $7,000, which seems to be the proposal right now, hey, the Model 3 would then be $29,990. That's an amazing price point. This whole thing could be about Tesla getting to that price point if there is a tax credit. And for the Model Y, even without that tax credit, they've brought it now to $39,900. So some really compelling price points here for Tesla. All right, now I have said my piece on the price changes, let's move on. Just a couple other quick things today. Consumer Reports has released their automotive brand annual report card, and Tesla has slipped 5 slots down now in their rankings to 16th, even though Tesla has the highest owner satisfaction rating there in Consumer Reports and the highest road test score tied with a couple others. Where Tesla gets dinged, no surprise, is on reliability. We've talked about this ad nauseum. We've interviewed director of testing there at Consumer Reports, Jake Fisher, a couple of times actually. So I don't think we need to cover it anymore here, but I would say the reason it dropped is because of the introduction of the Model Y. With the introduction of a new model, reliability, or perceived reliability by Consumer Reports testing, probably a better way to put it, tends to be lower as those initial production kinks get worked through. I would imagine that Tesla would rebound from this next year to some extent. On a similar note, JD Power today released their 2021 US vehicle dependability study. This measures problems per 100 vehicles, problems defined by JD Power, and the weighting of those problems, if any, is not disclosed. So without that information, tough to really have any sort of conclusion from this, but since it will probably be mentioned in many articles, Tesla scored 30th, though technically the brand cannot be ranked because Tesla doesn't allow surveying in 15 states, those states requiring automakers to give J.D. Power permission to contact their customers. So the real big question out of this is, why do all other brands allow that and Tesla doesn't? To be clear, that's a rhetorical question, but anyway, as for the results, Tesla apparently had 176 problems per 100. Again, that would put them 30th, just above Jaguar. Just kidding. Some of you teased me about that the other day. I know it's Jaguar or Jaguar or Jaguar, so I will work on that. I do try to get the pronunciations correct, so I hope you can forgive me on that one. But the industry average here as far as problems per 100 vehicles was 121, again, versus 176 for Tesla. Lastly today, just a bit of space news and a congrats to NASA. They have successfully landed the Perseverance Mars rover on Mars after a 203-day journey that began with the launch last July. Touchdown was confirmed today, and Perseverance sent back its first photo from the surface of Mars. About the mission, NASA writes, quote, "A primary objective of Perseverance mission on Mars is astrobiology research, including the search for signs of ancient microbial life. The rover will characterize the planet's geology and past climate, and be the first mission to collect and cache Martian rock and regolith, paving the way for human exploration of the Red Planet. Subsequent NASA missions, in cooperation with ESA, will send spacecraft to Mars to collect these cache samples from the surface and return them to Earth for in-depth analysis." End quote. Is this relevant to Tesla? Not really, but it's exciting, it's relevant to space, and we talk about SpaceX, so I wanted to throw it in. And it's a big moment, so congrats to NASA again. But that will wrap it up for today. As always, thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and sign up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And I'll see you tomorrow for the Friday, February 19th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.